after last week, or the last time we were together, over this last week, the reports are coming back, or have come back, in regards to the fruit of the services that have been coming forth from the prayer center. And if you keep notes, we're going to begin by giving you a little bit of homework. Nice thing about the Lord is when you come up against a test and you don't pass it, you really never fail it, because he always allows you to take it again. And he has no remembrance if you ever failed it before. Nor does he punish you in any way and make you stay after class, not go out on recess, take your allowance away, etc., etc. Because he's always looking at the future, and he knows when you're going to pass it. And if anyone ever has been long-suffering and patient and kind and gentle, it's him. So he keeps no record. If you keep notes, I'd write down these three passages. First is Matthew 13. Second is Mark 4. And third is Luke 8. He's wanting to bring freedom this morning. He's wanting to bring peace. He's wanting you to know how greatly he loves you. Some of you are familiar with those three passages. Need to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to outline very quickly, because this is my first introduction. It is the parable of the sower that sows the word. It's recorded in all three Gospels. The thing that we need to remember is when truth comes forth, like it is coming forth currently, that the enemy comes immediately. Immediately to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes immediately, not tomorrow, not the next day. He has already put into action his plan to steal the word out of you. Now, we know from Ephesians that we are above all of this, and that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we are attaining to that, and he still comes to remove the word out of you. So if I had a show of hands this morning as to how many of you in the last couple weeks has been in a warfare like never before, okay, there would not be a hand that does not go up, even if you don't recognize that you've been in that warfare. He has increased his intensity or his single-mindedness to remove the word from you because of the word that's coming forth. If we wanted to talk about and share things that mattered not, I guarantee you that you have would have not gone through what you've gone through, because there's nothing to steal. If the seed was not sown. So he doesn't leave you alone, but there's nothing for him to steal. There's no seed in the ground. So consequently, he doesn't leave you alone, but you wouldn't feel what you all have been feeling without exception. Okay. You are all feeling a warfare. In those parables, there's four types of hearts. You know them probably by heart, but I'll read them. The first one is a wayside heart. The second one is a stony heart. The third one is thorns in the heart. And the fourth one is a good heart. A wayside heart, as the word says, understands not, has no understanding of the seed that's been sown. A stony heart, the seed is removed through tribulations, through persecutions, through times of temptation, and through times that you become offended over the truth of the word. Thorns in the heart has to do with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. It is not saying that it's removed because of your responsibilities. It's removed when you take your responsibilities and turn them into cares. The good ground does three things. Say, I'm good ground. I hope you believe that, because you really are. You really are. Good ground has three components. First component is it understands the word. It understands it. Second is it receives it, or it takes ownership of it. It's mine. And the third is that it keeps it. You can't receive it if you don't understand it. And you can't keep it if you've never received it. Real simple. Real simple. So as we walk through this morning and, you know, our whole life, we have to keep in mind that we are good ground. This is the Born Again Trail class, right? Tell me, when you look inside your heart, whether you're good ground. When he come in and put his life inside of you, brother, you got a good heart. You really, really, really got a good heart. And within that heart, you can do those three things. You can understand it, you can receive it, and you can keep it. Okay, that was the introduction. Last week, maybe highlights, or to go into this week, the one thing that was made very clear to us, that our only responsibility was to offer ourselves up. That's what we do. Offer ourselves up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you understand that? Do you receive that? And do you keep that? Has nothing to do with works. Nothing. I offer myself up to you. I offer myself up to you. I offer myself up to you. Lord, all you've asked me to do was offer myself up to you. Everything else, you do through me. I don't do it independent of you. You own me. I offer myself up to you. I don't have any ability to do anything else except offer myself up to you. If I try to do anything other than that, I am doing something that you have not asked me to do. I offer myself up to you. That's what I do. What would you like me to do? I offer myself up to you. Then he said, there will never be a time in this revival that you can ignore your personal time with me. I offer myself up to you. Of all of the conversations that the Lord's allowed me to be a part of this week, the enemy has come and has stolen the freedom there is in just offering yourself up to him. I didn't pray enough. I didn't fast enough. I wasn't alone enough. I wasn't. That's the attack that we're all under, without exception. I'm not good enough. I'm too old. Nothing will ever happen. I've been a part of this for X number of years. I'm unworthy. That is the type of persecution. That is the type of cares of this world that are coming against each one of us. And we're losing the fact that all he asks us to do is, you give yourself to me, and I do the rest. That doesn't mean that you don't fast, and that doesn't mean you don't pray. But he's good. He's really good, the enemy, at bringing responsibility into your life that causes you to take care that you're not doing what he asked you to do. And that is all a lie. How many of you this week has had less time to pray than you did 3 weeks ago? May I see your hand? That's called warfare. Let's just say fellowship and remove prayer right into the foundation cornerstones of the message that's come to maturity. How many of you had to do things this week, okay, and you would have much rather been doing one of the other things instead of what you had to do? Let me see your hand. Now look around. Let's not raise hands and, you know. It's a reality. It's a reality. I listened to someone this week, and they began to tell me their day that started at roughly 7 o'clock in the morning or earlier, and went till about 9 o'clock that evening. And they were saying, if I had an hour today to pray, I would be stretching it. But from 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening, I'll guarantee that they had fellowship the whole day. Because we may have a hard time getting into his presence. That's why he's come. because he's come into our presence. And that we walk in a fellowship all day long. If we acknowledge his presence, if we're reminded that he's there, if we're reminded that he never leaves us, we're in fellowship. I could point to someone and say, how much have you prayed last week? I prayed 5 hours. How much did you prepare for what he's called you to do? I spent 40 hours a week. That is fellowship. How much did your spirit pray while you were spending that 40 hours doing what he's called you to do, offering yourself up? Your spirit probably paid the whole 40 hours. If I stop talking right now and become quiet and you become quiet and listen to your spirit, what is it doing? What's it doing? It's praying. It's praying. It's having communion with my soul. And it is riding the horse. And my soul is walking. Okay. Enough review. I think that the next one we were going to begin was January 10th. Seek me as your first love. Everybody has a handout? Editor's notes. The following is in reference to things that were said during the January 10th, 8:30 a.m. Sunday service at the Family of the Prayer Center. Do you remember that service? That service was a service that Gary Carpenter was having. And the title of that service is When Trouble Comes. Not that trouble was here, but when trouble comes. And he began the service by saying, he can say it better than I can, but I'll paraphrase it. I learned a long time ago that my responsibility was to say what I hear, not say what I know. This is not necessarily a Bible class where you're learning about the gifts of the Spirit or tithing or non-tithing. I'm here as a representative of the Holy Spirit to tell you what I hear, not tell what I know. And all that I hear this morning is to begin to speak in regards to when trouble comes. During that service, this word came forth. This word did not come forth with somebody with a mic in their hand. This came forth truly as many of the words coming forth just like the early church, where they get together. And some had a word, some didn't have a word, some had the interpretation of the word. It was family. It was every gift operating in the level that it had matured to. So let's begin reading. The things that are being said this morning are not for the purpose of alarming anyone. Got that? No alarm. It is solely for the purpose of allowing each one of us an opportunity to make adjustments where adjustments are needed. Question is, have we made any adjustments? How can we make adjustments if we don't understand what was said that morning? How can we make adjustments if we never received what was said that morning? And we certainly can't keep it if we don't know what came forth that Sunday morning. So the purpose of the prayer center, there's CDs in the back. I believe we copied extra ones, that we can go back to that service and you can listen to it and you can develop your own adjustments if you don't remember that service. If you've meditated on it and you have all the adjustments, praise the Lord. Once again, you never fail a test because He always gives you an opportunity to take it over again. I am your sole need. I am your sole purpose. And when I say there is no need to fear because I am with you, and when I say there is no lack to those who love me and seek me, I speak truth, for I am truth and only truth. So yes, there is trouble coming. And yes, the enemy is intent on a heavy level of increased warfare against you. That was said on January the 10th. It's been said by others that the time that a prophecy or a present-day speaking of the Lord comes to pass, and the time for the fulfillment of that prophecy, that the time period between the two has greatly, greatly shortened. What you have experienced this last week or last 2 weeks is a result of Him telling us on that day that trouble was coming. He explained to us how it was coming, that the enemy was going to, the enemy is intent on a heavy level of increased warfare against you, and his intent is torment. When torment is received, if you don't receive it, there's no torment. As you heed these instructions, you hear this day, and obey and seek me as your priority, the tormentor will have no way to torment you, for I am your peace. Let's go to the word instructions. There's a handout back in the bookstore this morning. It comes from Gary Carpenter's Face to Face. It is entitled, His Burden is Light. If you're listening to this by some form of media, it is up on Gary's website. It will now be up on Dave Roberson's website and several others in the very near future. So I've taken the liberty to pull out of it some excerpts instead of reading the entire document, because it applies to every instruction that you've already received and that you're going to receive. There's no exception to the instructions that the Lord brings. This is how He brings instructions as we read this. Any other instructions that you receive is not from Him. It is from you receive it in your soul. You don't receive it in your spirit. Best way to say it. I'm going to read a portion of His Burden is Light in regards to instructions. Please listen. The mind of man tends to bondage by devising works of an unending sort that leads to a never-ending cycle of labor producing death. Labor producing death. Labor producing death. The assignments or instructions that come from His mind put the responsibility on me. Instructions that come from the Lord Jesus' mind puts the responsibility on the Holy Spirit. They are simple actions on your part to be done. Simple words to say, places to go, people to see, messages to deliver, things of a simple order. The responsibility for accomplishments of the mind of Christ is mine, says the Spirit of grace. Freedom. Freedom. Every instruction that you receive from me, it is not to add to your burdens. Freedom. It will free you from your burdens, for the instructions that come from the mind of Christ are intended to loose me and my power in the lives of every believer. His instructions do not come in such a fashion that I would sit idle while men should work. His instructions come that men can rest in the freedom which belongs to the sons of the living God, while the Spirit performs all things according to my power that is resident within myself. This is the help that the Father and the Son have sent to their serving sons. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If you want to write down another reference, you can write down Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah? No, it's Ezekiel chapter 4. I'm going to read in verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Do you know who he was? He was the governor. He was one of the men that the Lord sent back in to reestablish the nation and to rebuild the walls. Would you say he had lots of responsibility? Would you say he probably worked at least 40 hours a week? He wasn't a couch potato. But this is the word to him from the Lord. And he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou? All of the circumstances that are in your life, all of the responsibilities that are in your life, who art you, you great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and thou shalt bring forth, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, saying, grace, grace, grace. In the beginning of this, we heard that the Lord Jesus brought grace and truth. So all of your responsibility this last week and everything that the enemy has badgered you, tormented you, what you need to do is stand right up in front of him and say, grace. You understand? Grace. I would like to shout it, but because of the children are here this morning, if they are trying to sleep, I'd wake them all up. How much have you shouted grace to all the responsibilities that you had this last week? It's learning. It's learning and learning and learning and relearning. That we first understand this. And then we receive it. And then we keep it. Grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10. May know it by heart. But by the grace of God. Now this is Paul. I don't know that Paul ever slept a full night in reading his life. You know. Forgetting all the persecution. I mean, he talks about the weight that he was carrying for the churches. He had to be an intercessor. And so they never sleep. You know, they're woke up at 2 in the morning and say, get out of bed, I have something that needs to be taken care of. So anyway, here's Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more than they all. Sounds like he's bragging. You know? I worked harder than they all. I'm a workaholic. You know? And then he clarifies it. Then he puts everything in order as to who he really was when he says, "Not yet, not I, but the grace of God which was upon me." Grace. So, I'll give you three of probably many, but three things to do when an instruction comes into your life and you want to understand it, you want to receive it, and you want to keep it. Three instructions. First one is ask for the grace to receive it as truth. Ask for the grace to receive it because it's brand new and you have to take ownership of it. You got to grab a hold of it. You got to grab a hold of that instruction, that truth, and you got to take ownership of it. To take ownership of it, you have to have grace to take ownership of it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. So to even take ownership of it, to even understand it, to have the mind of Christ, you have to have that grace. Second one, you have to ask for the grace that is in wisdom as to how to do it or how to become it. And that comes from the mind of Christ. Third, ask for the strength and the power that is in grace to do it. Not by might, not by power. I promise you, and he promises you, that if we get that in us, and it's not out here, but the truth is in us, the next time you want to fast, and you ask for the grace to fast, he never says no. And that grace will come for you to fast. And if your flesh rises up, like all of ours does, I could use anything that he asks you to do. But he has said so much in regards to fasting this year in the words. he chose to teach us about fasting where Pastor Dave has not been able to teach us on fasting. So, in other words, when Dave comes out, he chooses to use him without using the exhorter gift or the teaching gift. And so he doesn't want this season to go by that we don't understand more about fasting line upon line. So he's teaching us, and he's teaching us in what he's saying in prophecies or in his present day speaking. If you ask for grace to fast and you eat the next meal, you didn't flunk the test. Just ask for grace again and again and again and again and again. Because we all know we're supposed to. I mean, we all know that where he's taking us, that there is no choice but that. And he rejoices when we use his word to bring forth the power and the authority in grace for us to fast. Or any instruction that he's given you. If you're having difficulty with it, whatever it is, ask for grace. Back to the word. Everything the enemy wants to bring against you is as a drop in the ocean in my scheme of things for those who take the time to seek me as their first love and true love. He didn't say a drop in the bucket. He said a drop in the ocean. Hold your hand up. One drop. I won't put it on your head. One drop. In comparison to whatever ocean you're thinking about right now, that's all the power that the enemy has to stop you from fulfilling everything he's called you to do. Just a drop. You think he's lying when he says that? In comparison to who you are, or you who you are in him, you have an ocean inside of you. You have an ocean. And he is like a drop. He's like a drop. It's already gone away. Just a drop in an ocean. What's the ocean? Him. He's the ocean. And he's not made of salt water, incidentally. So let your heart take heed to what I say to you, and obey. Obey that which you hear my serving son say today, and seek me as your first love, as your necessary love, as your one ardent passion and desire. Make time to fall deeper in love with me, and you will be changed, and storms always cease. Do you notice there? I mean, it's amazing to me that the Lord did not call Gary a teacher. Isn't that interesting? Didn't call him a prophet. Didn't call him any gift. Whether it's a manifestation gift, whether it's an office in the body of Christ, or whether it's the redemptive gifts that are found in Romans, he called him none of that. He called him a serving son. Like my daddy, that's the way I am. I'm a serving son. What an honor. That's what he's calling you. Because he bases everything that's within grace on a relationship of you being part of a family. Because he's got all the gifts he needs, and he'll give them to you. Every one of them. And when you were born again, and when the Holy Spirit came in and completely made you new, and they came, all of them, and made their abode with you, you have everything. There's nothing missing. Oh, I better leave this one out of him. You know, you got everything Jesus was and is and will be inside of you. So if you need to be a prophet, you'll be a prophet. Because you're complete in him, nothing left out. There's not a single manifestation gift that's not available for you. Not a single one. There are some that operate more, but the seed, the resident of all of that is inside of you. And he did not call you a gift. He called you a son. He called you a joint heir. He made room for you to sit right next to him in heavenly places. I mean, come sit down. Don't run around. Just come down and sit with me. Because everything I am, I have made you. And I need you to give yourself to me. Because you're the one that carries all the authority. You have it all. I just learn to give yourself to me. That's all you have to do. And together, in grace, we're going to accomplish my Father's will. Next present day speaking was January 10th, because of the few. He said that you can't know through the different church ages because some hasn't been recorded. He said the following. If you understood at times when things were hopeless and that my movings almost came to a standstill, that there were people who would not turn loose. Prayer Center. Why did he say it to us? When he brings truth, he does not bring truth that does not apply to you as an individual. He doesn't waste our time. I'm not going to come here and talk to you about management reports off the internet. I'm not going to come and talk to you about the things that are being done to create the International School of the Holy Spirit. And on. Neither does he. He brought this forth that morning for us to recognize a little bit more of who we are in him. Why could he bring it? Why did he have the liberty to bring it? Because he felt as though that we would understand it and that we could receive it without walking in pride, and we could keep it. He said it to us and to everyone that's listening, that is hearing this. If you understood at times when things were hopeless and that my movings almost came to a standstill, that there were people who would not turn loose. And even though the rope became a thread, the thread wouldn't break, and I build it all back again, says the Lord. And know this, it is because of the few that bore the persecution and would not turn loose. So all that you've went through, he's saying, don't turn loose. Be one of those that's a thread. Be one of those that's a thread and part of the thread. Not a rope, but a thread. Oh, good. We have time for one more. The use of tongues and praying in tongues. At the beginning of the year, and you've heard this more than once now, that he began to say this was a season of change, and it was a season of training us, and a season to give us instructions. As I read this one, well, let's read it. Read it. I will answer your question, says the Lord. Yes, there is a lot of confusion around the use of tongues and praying in tongues. Rather than reason there is so much confusion, it's because they try to put the same set of rules on all the diversity of tongues and come forth without understanding. But I give you a way to edify yourself beyond your ability, and I even create the prayer. Test. See if you pass it. What are the four diversities of tongues? I won't ask for a show of hands, and I won't ask for the answers. But we all know, I think we all know, there's four diversity. Why would he bring this forth at this time to the prayer center if we didn't need to know it, like we think we know it but don't know it? How many of you could go upstairs where we developed a, I can't even call it a video room, but a room that we're going to do video in, and sit you in the chair, turn the camera on, and say, please explain to me and give me a teaching on praying in tongues and the four diversity of tongues. Don't know how many would pass the test. But I believe that the reason he gave it to us at the beginning of this year is that he's going to send many of us, to places where tongues has been stopped. We talk much about a denomination that if that denomination had not won a lot of souls, where would we get our people? But he is about ready to switch it. And he's going to send them back in to that group of people. And I better be prepared to explain tongues that the enemy has tried to totally destroy. And he'll use every one of you, and you will set the captives free. You talk about freedom. And there'll be anointing there, and there'll be grace there, and there'll be power there. You talk about setting whole groups of people completely, completely free if we follow that instruction. Can you imagine that instruction? Just this one to be put on video. just this, and putting it out to the world, and for it to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, like the prayer clause that we talk about Paul sent out. Can you imagine the revival that will take place in just that one aspect of the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power? The devil will really, really, really be confused because he cannot stop it. Because we'll go behind all of the walls. We'll go behind all of the denominations. We'll go inside and beyond all of the churches that stand against it. And they'll be coming back into the sanctuary, speaking it. See you in a half an hour.